This is the Better Life, Better Work show, and I'm your host, Allison Crow. I'm an intuitive life and business coach and an irreverent priestess with modern soul medicine for the everyday extraordinary woman or man, and I'm here to help you create better life and better work. This show covers topics on thinking and mindset, business and life strategy, and of course, spirituality and energetics as well. You're listening to the Better Life, Better Work show. More is not better, better is better.
Hey, hey. Welcome, friends. Allison Crow here, and this is the Better Life, Better Work show, episode number 40. So here we are today in part two of a series on what I call becoming. And becoming is the theme of a deep coaching and play intensive that I am running in Austin called Camp Star Heart. It's May 1st through 4th this year. And we're going to be doing some work around the theme of becoming. So today, what I wanted to talk to you is about identity. And so I have a couple of online definitions for you. I thought this was interesting. So the first one that comes from yourdictionary.com, identity. The definition of identity is who you are, the way you think about yourself, the way you are viewed by the world, and the characteristics that define you. And then the second definition is, this just came from the Google Dictionary. It says, quote, the fact of being who or what a person or thing is. And I find that interesting, that just like the brain, it defines our identity as fact. And I know from experience that when I have defined my identity as who I am, the way I think about myself, and the way I either choose to be or am viewed by the world, that I have limited my ability to make changes that I wanted to make in my life. So here's a couple of things I've been noticing personally. First, our identity feels like something that's automatic. Obviously, we could go into the deeper psychological and theoretical form of identity, but basically, one of the things we talk about in coaching all the time is just the awareness of mass consciousness, of how we are shaped in our thinking and in our being, in cultural consciousness, in the micro consciousness of how we were raised in our families and in our education, what society, perhaps what race or socioeconomic status. And so there are so many bits of nurture versus nature that end up subconsciously helping us to develop what, for the sake of this podcast and for the sake of the conversation around becoming, I'm calling identity. So I had an interesting experience with my husband just yesterday. I wanted to go drive around a neighborhood near us that has acreage home sites. I'm looking forward to the day when I have a little bit of space between myself and my neighbors. And as we are driving around looking at these lovely houses on about 1 acre lots, beautiful houses, not obscenely unaffordable, but a little bit of a stretch for where I am now, but something that within the next couple of years, I think I could really make happen. And so I'm doing my normal dreaming and watching and planning and financialing and looking and all these things. And as we're driving around, my sweet husband says, I don't think I would fit in here. And it was so fascinating. Like, what about this neighborhood? What about these homes would cause him to, quote, not fit in? And I'm calling it an identity glitch. Now, here's the thing. I don't need to put pressure on him, but I notice in my own life, in my own being, and especially in my work, where in the places where I have not yet reached specific goals or outcomes or ways of being, so it can be both internal and external, it is only because I have a thought about who I am, who I be. My brain is believing a fact that is out of alignment with that which I want to create. And so just like my husband was saying, oh, I won't fit in these houses. Well, how does he know? We don't know the people that live in those homes. What is required to fit in living in a neighborhood with nice homes, right? Like there's a little bit of misalignment there. And so in all the ways that I have created in my life, so one of the things I do love and adore is my relationship with my husband. And I realized that from a very early age, I had a belief about myself. I had a belief about myself in the context of relationship, even in relationships that didn't work out. But I had this deep, deep identity of knowing that I would be in a long-term monogamous committed partnership, probably a marriage with somebody that at the heart of who my husband is like my husband. Now, the outside factors are slightly different than I imagined, but the inside experience, the companionship and affection experience that I'm having is exactly what my mind knew I would always have. Another way I saw this come to fruition was over the last year. There's been a couple of major identity shifts that I've had around food and the kitchen and eating. And so many of you know I went through some health stuff and I worked with a doctor to get my hormones in balance, to get my cortisol in balance, to get my thyroid in balance. And after all that was normalized for a woman of my age, he suggested that I experiment with a keto diet. And it was interesting because there was a lot of other things I had to adjust. And for years, probably for the last 6 or 7 years, I had made up a story in my mind that I would always be the weight that I was no good in the kitchen, that I was kitchen deficient. I remember a girlfriend of mine and I were FaceTiming and she saw I was making fun of my refrigerator and she saw my refrigerator and she got really sad for me because at the time, a grown ass married woman, my refrigerator looked like what we might make up that a college boy's empty refrigerator with just booze in it would be. And she was right. My refrigerator at the time was not full of fresh fruits and vegetables and delicious foods. It was really, really sad. And I ended up going through some hypnotherapy a couple years ago to release some old identity I had around the kitchen. Like, I've always been really intimidated. I don't feel confident cooking. I feel confident entertaining, but I don't feel confident creating food for other people, and so many of my friends do. And like, I just always said that I didn't do the kitchen. This was my way of thinking. The other part of that was that I loved macaroni and cheese so much. And so I had macaroni and cheese at all my weddings. I had it all the time growing up as a child, and it's one of my favorite foods. And so these two things came into play when my doctor suggested to me that I might want to try eating keto. And fortunately, before he slid that piece of paper across his desk with the foods that would be beneficial for me, I had done lots of work thinking about health, thinking about what's possible. I've done a lot of other coaching work. And so what I did when he sent that to me, unusually for myself around these items at the time, I decided to give myself permission to possibly learn something new. So instead of claiming the identity of I don't do the kitchen and I love macaroni and cheese too much to ever give up carbs, I decided I can learn new things. And here I am, June, July, August, September, October, November, December, January, February, March. 10 months later, and I have not had a slice of bread. I have not had a noodle. I certainly haven't had macaroni and cheese, and I'm down 20 pounds. So I'm not full keto anymore. I'm very, very low carb, but I indulge in chocolate shakes with my husband once a week and fries every once in a while. But it was interesting. I have also learned how to cook since then, and I've made many crappy meals in learning how to cook, but I've made lots of really good meals. I'm very confident in the grocery store now. I'm very confident in my kitchen. I even have a few kitchen tools that at one point I had received many, many years ago as wedding gifts and never used because I didn't know how. So one of them being a Cuisinart. And I know how to use the Cuisinart now. And these things may not be a big deal to you, but you have to understand my brain and my beliefs about myself really held me back in this area because my identity always said that my health would be changed through exercise. And after 5 years of exercising it and it actually not helping my adrenal fatigue, I had to try something new. I was desperate. And so I'm so thankful for my doctor that helped me, you know, get my hormones back up. I'm so thankful for the work that I did on the inside around learning new things, around releasing trauma around the kitchen and eating and food from a childhood. And I realized that today I literally identify as a different person than I did a year ago around food. It blows my mind. And so in having this shift in something that it was big for me, it wasn't super huge, but it was big enough for me to realize, oh, no wonder I never made those changes before, because my brain just assumed I couldn't do it. I identified a certain way, and therefore I pushed it out of my life. And so now when I look at things in my business, so here's what I want you to do. I'll tell you about my business in a second, but I want you to think about something that you want for your life. Maybe you want to lose 20 pounds. Maybe you want to find a partner. Maybe you want to learn a new skill. Maybe you want to grow your business. And if it's something that you have wanted for a long time or wanted for a while and have put lots of effort into and still haven't realized, I want you to check in and see, what are your beliefs about who you are that are in conflict with that creation? I don't want you to judge it. I just want you to notice it. And so many times, I'm actually working with one of my clients, Heather Esposito, does emotion code and body code stuff. And I've been loving doing work with her around certain beliefs about abundance and prosperity, because I've certainly created quite a bit more than I ever thought. Well, not that I ever thought was possible, but you know, when I became self-employed 15 years ago, I was working as a kindergarten teacher and technology coordinator, making $36,000 a year, and it just hadn't crossed my mind that I would be living up in the multi-six-figure world and I would be a business owner. I never identified as a business owner until a random circumstance. And what's funny was the attitude that I had is I didn't know what I didn't know when I became a business owner. I just knew I can learn new things. And so that's another identity that has actually served me. It's one that I pull out often when there is something difficult or hard or that I'm uneasy at. I always pull out that identity piece as true. I'm going to allow that one to be factual. I can learn new things. And so I have learned lots of new things around money, around making money, around sales, around marketing, around being extroverted and introverted and all kinds of inner work. I have learned new things around saving. I look at my bank account today and I just chuckle. Who is this woman that has already paid her taxes in full with cash and has money saved in both her tax account and in her personal and business savings? And 2 years ago, I was putting those things on credit card But I decided I wasn't just going to change my behaviors and do something different. I had to change my identity around these things. I had to change my beliefs. And a lot of times, even last night, a client said to me, he said, intellectually, I get that. And so if you've ever had a moment where you like know intellectually the thought that you're supposed to have, and yet it doesn't feel real. I'm proposing today that the reason it doesn't feel real is because it's not in alignment with your old identity. And so around my business, I'm at a level, not at a level, I want to scale my business. I've switched over to this membership model. I love it. I've been doing it for over 18 months now. I have some ways that I want to grow. This is the last year for Camp Star Heart. We're going to be doing other kinds of events, mostly centered around the membership. And I have a new way that I'm doing business. It's one thing. I used to do all the things. And now anything I do is in service of soulful success. And so I'm taking my time with this. I'm building it. I have so much extra time on my hands. And I want to be really smart about it. I have a couple of things of support. I have amazing producer of my podcast. Shout out to Elise. I have amazing virtual assistant help with John. He helps do wonderful things behind the scenes of my business. I have an amazing CPA. I have an amazing bookkeeper, and I have an amazing housekeeper. And so it's funny, I caught myself one day saying, I don't do support. I have a really hard time. This was even recently. I was like, I have a really hard time letting people help me. And someone said, that's not true. And so we started listing off these people that over time I have been able to pass off and have help with. And I had this huge identity awareness that I have actually been doing the work without realizing in this context that I was shifting my identity. Absolutely. It was easy for me to say, I don't want to clean my house. That one was easy for me to say, someone can do it better. Same thing with my bookkeeping and my CPA. Someone can do it better. So those two things are, those were the first ones, allowing someone to support. And then having the VA, like learning to have a VA and help in my business has always been interesting for me, because often it has bumped up against myself being like this lone ranger who has these common beliefs. So let me know if this is, I think this is interesting, because a lot of small business owners I know went into working for themselves because they like working alone. They don't like being lonely, but they like being in charge. They like the autonomy, and they like getting things done, and they do things really fast, and they do things really well. And so in the past, my identity has included statements like, nobody could do it as good as me, or if I hire somebody that's as good as me to do it, it's going to cost way more than I want to. And those thoughts, when I pull them out of the programming of my brain, I see that they are not useful in the vision of creating what I want to create. And so this is where I'm going with this. You guys, we have got little pieces of our identity that are built in programming. So let me go back to this definition. This is interesting, recording and using my computer at the same time. The definition of identity is who you are, the way you think about yourself. And so often, I mean, obviously, as a life and business coach, I see so often how people's thinking is creating their reality. And the way that thinking creates our reality is our thinking impacts how we feel, and how we feel impacts the actions we take. And so my old thinkings about support, including some, I've had some lame experiences, but I've had a lot of good experiences. And the people that I know that are really good at receiving help and have a staff and are scaling their businesses and hire people all the time say, you know, they just don't have a charge around it. And so I I chuckle that when something we want or we know we need bumps up against an old, outdated identity pattern, that it gives us a charge. Another area I have seen this is in people releasing religious beliefs that they were taught by their schools and parents. And it's fascinating. I call it a midlife awakening. And it's not just about religion, but when we get into midlife, we start really questioning all the things we were ever taught by our society. And we decide to, you know, what do we really believe? And so number one is, what do we really believe about the world around us? And number two, what do we really believe about ourselves? And I am finding, truer than true, that what we believe about ourselves changes the way we show up in the world. And the way we show up in the world creates the actions we take, the rest we give ourselves, the kindness we give ourselves, the willingness to experiment and take risk end up changing things. So the reality is, I could keep my business where it is right now. It's profitable. It's extremely profitable. It's lucrative. It's fun. And I have a vision for something even better. And I am at one of those places, and maybe you are too. So this doesn't mean that who we are is horrible. I recognize that the business that I have built today, at the income, with the glorious clients, with the amount of time that I have to invest, which is much smaller now that I've gone to a membership coaching program than a lot of one-on-one clients or a lot of large group clients, is highly desirable by many, many people. And I'm at the point where I've seen I can make a greater impact for the everyday extraordinary woman or man next door. Like right now, I don't need to go feed or water villages in Africa. And if I stay where I am, it is plenty amazing. And yet I know in my soul, there's a next incarnation, an expansion, and it's not wanting to be born out of not good enoughness. That's what I love about this. So when you're thinking about your identity, who you have been, how you were taught to be, who is the person you are today? Can you think of an identity that you once held that you no longer hold anymore? I have quite a few. And then think about the person that your soul knows you are becoming. No, you're not your work. You're not your family. Like, obviously, the I am-ness of us is not in all these outer world things, but the outer world things are the embodiment of the inner world. And so as we want to create a shift in our embodied outer world life, so results in our health, in our money, in our wealth, in our business, in our relationships, in our parenting, we hear, you all know all the things. If I do these things, it will change. But why don't we do these things? Because there is deeper work to do, my dear, in making loving adjustments to your identity. And I love working with clients over a period of time to, you know, I wish I could snap my fingers and we could program a new identity, but programming takes practice and time and experimentation. And it takes lots of time and support. And it's some of the work that I do with my clients. And so let me just breathe. I get so excited about this. I get excited because just like you, I'm doing this work. There are days when I get intimidated by what it will be required of me to believe and to adjust in my beliefs to create the next evolution of this beautiful soul business. And when I only think about myself, I tend to stay small. But when I begin to remember the people that it can impact, the people on my team that will love being a part of something special, the growth we will encounter together and the impact that we will have, the income that we will have, and the permission that it will help give my clients, that is when I get really excited to dig in and to really do the work and the practice of adjusting my identity to that of my future self, releasing my past identity, seeing what is now useful and what is not useful, releasing the old and beginning to form new definitions of who I am and the way I think about myself. And that in turn adjusts the way I'm viewed by the world and the characteristics that define me. And so, my dears, think about it for a minute. I want to give you a journal practice. Write the word identity down. And then draw a line in the middle of your page. And write all the things, all the ways that you define yourself. Write the ones that make you happy and write the ones that might be a little bit more on the shadow side. And see if you can notice which ones are useful. Which ones are not useful? Seeing ourselves as unworthy and unable is absolutely not useful. Seeing ourselves as able to learn new things, as resilient, as up for the challenge, as willing to try new things, as willing to experiment, as being on the journey, as worthy, as not defined by our actions. Those are the things that are useful in the creation of an intentional better life and better work. So that's just a taste of identity. I'm going to be working deeply with clients May 1st through 4th. You can find out more about Camp Starheart at www.campstarheart.com. That gives you all the information about the event. It gives you some of the speakers and more of the essence. It's really, truly a magical event. We will be doing deep coaching. We will be doing a lot of fun. We spend a lot of time together as a community belonging, and I'd really love to invite you to grab up one of the last tickets. So the tickets will be on sale through April 1st. There are just a few left. And if you are feeling called to come and explore support around shifting your identity, becoming the version of you that is on the horizon, the one now is beautiful, but you also know that your soul is in the midst of creating and birthing something entirely new, and it's going to require of you a new way of being and thinking and seeing who you be in this world. I'd love to be the one that gets to support you on this. So thank you so much for spending time with me. As always, I totally appreciate your iTunes reviews. I appreciate you sharing on social media with hashtag Better Life, Better Work, or hashtag Better Life, Better Work Show. I love and appreciate you. I'm so glad that we get to spend this time together. I'd love to hear any insights you take away. You can hit me up on my Facebook page or on my Instagram. Love to you. Shift that identity, sweetheart.
This show is Leroy Brown and Clementine approved. They're here to encourage you to think about adopting before you shop for your next pet. More is not better. Better is better.